Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Lord. If you could go with me to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at a few verses there, and we're going to jump to Acts 5 as well. Look at a few verses there. Carlos, may you had an anniversary a few weeks ago. How many years now? Whoa, 7 years, huh? Man, good job. And you just turned 38, man? 20. Oh, okay. I read it wrong. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. All right. Wow, man, I'm glad. So if you have your Bible, again, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We ended last time I was here speaking about the relationships between a man and his wife and how they should treat each other. And so we're going to pick it up here in verse 8. And I think we're going to look at it through the Amplified version, for I think in 1 Peter you may have a different version, but we'll look at it through the Amplified. And so he's getting ready to end this little discourse here, and so he uses this word finally. All of you, now he's talking to the church, to saints, all right? And chapter 1 means talk to the, he says, pilgrims. We're just traveling through, all right? This is not our home. We're just traveling through. Finally, all of you, all of us, the saints, should be of one and the same mind. United in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren of one household, compassionate, and uses the word courteous. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we looked at Ephesians 5, and it said that, you know, we're to imitate God. And though it is a very, it's easy to understand, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not difficult to live out, but there are sometimes we choose not to be an example of Jesus Christ, right? It says here, compassionate and courteous, tenderhearted and humble, and sometimes We know what we should do, but we choose not to do it. Are you with me? All right. So I'm going to confess to you. Don't start laughing yet. We're on vacation. Everybody, uh-oh. And we travel from the West Coast to the East Coast, New York, D.C., North Carolina, and came on back. We're in Washington, D.C. We got dirty clothes, right? For, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 nights, whatever, to get there. And so we find this, we're in this hotel, and they got a washing mat. So we get in there, we're going to wash our clothes right here. So we go in, and someone has the wash machine already. Oh, man. It's, what was it, like 20 minutes left all on the machine or something like that? 20 minutes. So we, all right, man, we'll go back and do something else, and we come back, and then they not there yet. And so I ain't that rude. I'm not going to take their stuff out and put it somewhere, right? I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to be compassionate and courteous. And so I come back a little while later, and the lady's there. All right, I can use the wash machine. And then she says, oh, I have another load to put in. Are you serious? But she's older than I am. I got to be respectful, courteous, and compassionate, right? So I'd have been down there 3 times. So I go to the room. We wait. Oh, okay, I bet she's done now. It's been an hour and a half. So I got my clothes and a little roll-away luggage, all the dirty clothes, my clothes, all the clothes. I'm going to go down there and wash, right? Why am I washing and not her anyway? I don't know why, but I'm doing I did most of the driving. She can at least do the washing, right? But no. But listen, I won't go there. I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to be courteous, tenderhearted, and humble. I'm going to live this out, right? So I go to the elevator, right? Get in the elevator. The elevator is about to close, and here's another lady come in there with a black plastic bag. And in my mind, I'm saying, I bet she's going to the washing machine. I've been to the washing machine 3 times already. I know when you go out the elevator, make a quick right, quick left. So in my mind, I got my strategy. I'm not going to run her over, though, because I ain't that rude, right? So she stepped out the elevator, and she steps to her left. I said, hot dog. I take my little suitcase. Quick right, quick left. I go into the washing mat, and there's her husband waiting. It says compassionate and courteous, tenderhearted, and humble. But I haven't been there 3 times. He's there, but his clothes ain't there. I'm there with my clothes. I start dumping in the washing. And they said, but we were waiting for it. Well, I waited 3 times, and you know, I'm sorry, I gotta. I was rebellious and stubborn. And I did not apply this to my life. I was wrong. Because what I should have did was, he was there waiting. I could have sucked it up, right? Now, at that point, there's no way I could try to introduce him to Jesus. There's no way, right? I couldn't witness to them about Jesus, right? Because I just acted that way. Have you ever acted like ungodly before? You know, you just... She went left. I went right. I got there before her clothes got there. And so I said that, you know, when you do wrong, sometimes you try to just, well, you know, if her fault. I went upstairs and told Ola what had happened. And I said, well, won't you go down and get the clothes off? I ain't going down there and get the clothes off. I'm not going out there. I ain't going to be not a part of your foolishness. You know, it started with the man having to wash clothes, though. But we won't go there, Vernon. We'll leave that alone. It says here for us to sympathize one with another. Be compassionate, courteous. Peter, the apostle of Jesus, had a ringside seat on how the life of Christ is to be lived out. So when he's pinned this down, he's got firsthand knowledge. He understands what Christ would do. And so Christ is compassionate. Christ is courteous. He is tenderhearted and humble. And I want you to know something. He is courteous and tenderhearted with us. Huh? He is kind and long-suffering with us. And though you were wrong and I was wrong, he's still gracious to us and merciful to us. Amen? We're to be like-minded to each other like he was to us. Be submissive one to another, to show honor to one another, to be modest and humble to one another. We are called to do this, and we can do this because we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't have any excuse. I just wanted my way. Have you been there? You're wrong, like two left shoes, you're wrong. And I was wrong. You know, after we washed the clothes, me and the other couple, we were down there, we grinned about it. I don't know if it was a fake grin they had or a real grin. I don't know what it was. But, you know, I mean, I'm bigger than they are. I bullied them, huh? Yeah, I guess I really did. But, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't live this verse out, verse 8. And there are sometimes you know it and you miss the mark. And that's what sin is. You shoot at a target and you miss the mark. And I miss the mark. And we all miss the mark at times. But God is still gracious and kind and long-suffering. Verse 9 says this. Never means at no time in the past or future, on no occasion. Never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Remember, he's writing this from firsthand knowledge of observing Christ. Okay? He's writing this. And he says, scolding, tongue lashing, berating, but on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare. So watch this. What it's saying here is, when people curse at you, you feel in your flesh you have a right to curse them back. Don't raise your hand. Just so no one will know. But you feel like they call you out your name. Oh, okay. That is. You feel you have the right to do it. What the Bible says here is, instead of cursing them, you're to pray a blessing on them. Never, everyone say never. Never means at no time in the past or future, on no occasion. Never, never, ever, ever return an insult because someone insulted you. And never try to do it even in a sly, sarcastic way. You know how you do under the cover, so to speak. Don't do it. Never return an insult because someone insulted you. Husbands and wives, we got to stop doing it. We were in Las Vegas some years ago. And we're at a store buying some stuff, and I've told some of you this before, Ola's in line, she's going to buy her some stuff, it's time for her to buy her stuff, and I am impatient by nature. Any other men impatient by nature? I'm the only guy? I got one guy with me. Two guys? Okay. I'm impatient by nature, and so we get to the counter, and she ain't got her money ready. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Right? You got the money ready. In my mind, you ain't got your money ready? I mean, we on vacation. Ain't no hurry anyway, but I'm just. And so I do one of these. Am I by myself today? I'm by myself today, huh? All right. You know, I don't tell her, you ain't got your money ready? I'll do it. I do that head roll, right? And she put me in my place. She said this. Every time you do that, it hurts my feelings. I shriveled up to about like 1 inch, right? She didn't yell or scream. She just said, every time you do that, it hurts my feelings. And I just felt like, man. So I'm learning, man, don't do that, right? Don't. And sometimes not a tongue lashing, but it's a sound that you make. It's a head roll. It's a look with the eyes. Right? It's sometimes grabbing something out of their hand. Give me that. Let me do that myself. You don't say that, but you just grab it. You don't see what I'm saying? We got to stop. Because it's not like what Christ would do. And we're supposed to imitate him. Amen? On the contrary, blessing, praying for the welfare, happiness, and protection, and truly pitying and loving them. Now, this is not limited to how we treat each other as saints. So don't think that, well, I can just treat the saints that way. No, this is the unsaved, your enemies as well. We made this comment today in Sunday school. Jesus on the cross, hanging there, right, totally open and naked, people walking by making fun of him, right? And he makes this comment to his father that one of the disciples records, and it says, he said, Father, what? Forgive them. They just made fun of him, talked about him, said all manner of evil against him. And instead of giving them an insult, what did he say? Father, forgive them. We would have said, I'll see you when I get up. Oh, I'll see you when I get up. But no, he didn't say this. For know that to this you have been called. We've been called to represent him. The world is in such an uproar now. They need to see something different than what they see on Fox, CNN, CBS, ABC, right? They need to see us. We have the key. That key is Jesus. And they need to see Jesus lived out in our lives. Amen? What we say, how we say it, how we live our lives, the world is hurting. They're going crazy, and they need help, and that help is Jesus. But they don't know how to get there unless we point the way. And so we must live a life that points the way towards Jesus. And it can't be using the same tactics that the world uses. That you may yourself inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. God's going to bless us as we represent him. Give me verse 10. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, that's all of us, good whether a parent or not. Now watch this. It says, keep your tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And this guile is treachery or deceit. If you want to live a good life, you got to control that tongue. James said that tongue is an unruly member. And only through the power of the Spirit can you control your tongue. Right? And so the Holy Spirit is available to us, and we need to access his power. Spirit of God, you have to help me today with my tongue. You have to help me today. In fact, I submit and yield my tongue to you, Spirit of God. You speak through me today. If we don't live a good life, we're going to control this tongue. This tongue is unruly of its own. Huh? So often we're quick to say something and oops, I didn't mean it. It came out. Huh? Do you wish you could ever grab that and bring it back, those words, but you cannot. The Bible says this. It says this. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Meaning this, what came out of your mouth resided in your heart. You meant it to stay there, but it came out. You didn't want people to hear what you really wanted to say about them, but it came out. And then you lie and you say, you didn't mean it. It was in your heart. It developed in your heart. It came out of your heart. You meant it. You didn't mean for them to hear it, but you meant it. If you want to live a good life, listen, you got to control that tongue. Verse 11. Let him turn away. Turn away means to repent. Repent from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace. We have to be active and aggressively searching for peace, harmony, and not just searching for it, but also to maintain it. And we have to maintain the peace in our relationships, whether at home, whether at work, or at the church. We need peacemakers. All right? Not people who are blind to the issues, but seeing the issues as they are, but yet trying to maintain peace. There is a peaceful way of resolving this situation. But as saints, we must be mature enough to always take the peaceful way. All right? And to set aside your emotions, because your emotions will lie to you. Your emotions will lie to you. We have to search and maintain peace, resolving issues in the most peaceful way possible, and God will direct you on how to resolve those issues. Amen? I like it. I'm going to verse 14. But even you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, though it is not certain that you will, you are still blessed. Even if you suffer, you are still blessed. Happy to be admired and favored by God. Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed. I want to jump to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 33 through 42. Acts chapter 5, 33 through 42 from the King James Version. And so what this situation is the disciples had been arrested by the religious leaders because they didn't like what they were preaching about Jesus. So it says here, when they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, when the disciples shared with them the gospel and the part they played about crucifying Jesus, they were cut to the heart. Next verse. Then stood there one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, put them out the room for a while, and said to them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do with touching these men. Be careful, for before these days rose up, Theudas boasted himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught or nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed, and when they had called, and when they had called the apostles, watch this. So one of the leaders of the group said, "Leave these men alone." They said, "Okay, we ain't going to kill them." But it says here, and when they had called the apostles, now all the apostles had did was just tell the truth. "You crucified the Lord. We're not going to stop talking about the Lord. That's just the way it is." When they had called the apostles, and watch this, and beaten them, sticks, stones, had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Was it fair that they were being beaten? Was it fair? Was it fair that you were talked about on your job? It wasn't fair, right? All right, next verse. And they departed from the presence of the council. Now, this phrase is very important because this tells us how we are to respond when we are falsely accused, when we are taken advantage of for Christ's sake. People don't treat us right, okay? Rejoicing. Everyone say rejoice. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. When people talk about us because, oh, you're a Christian, oh, you go to that holy roller church, oh, you do that, ah, oh, lift the other hand, ha, 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 and you get mad, right? It says here, rejoice. They were beaten. You ever been beaten before? No, I've never been beaten before. I've been whooped. But my dad, I think he'd beat me. He wouldn't beat me. Daddy killing me. He wasn't killing me, you know. But I've never been beaten. It's just they were beaten. But instead of getting mad, instead of leaving the church, instead of leaving Christ, this is what they did. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. So let me finish this up. But even as you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are still blessed. They felt that they were blessed to suffer on behalf of Christ. Suffer on behalf of Christ. They felt that they were blessed. Last two verses we're going to get to for today, I believe. 15, maybe the last one, verse 15. It says, but in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. And it says, always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you for the account of the hope that is in you. So I wanted to share this with you about your Bible study. And your habits and the amount of time that you give to studying the Word of God. The Bible says here that we need to always be ready to share with others why we believe what we believe. Because you've lived this life, because you have rejoiced when people talk about you, because you've been courteous, because you've been kind, people then will ask you, why do you do this? Why didn't you say something when they were accusing you falsely? Why did you defend yourself in the situation? Why? And you need to be able to explain to them why you do what you do, why you serve Christ. And if you aren't able to explain this to them, they have no way of knowing or following Jesus. We need to be able to explain to everyone why we do this. Why do you give offerings? Why do you come to a place every Sunday, hear a song or two, raise your hands, shout the top of your voice, listen to a man or woman preach? Why do you do this? And you need to be able to explain to people why you do this, why it's different than going to a social event. This is not a social event. This is not bingo. They're not playing dominoes. It's different. This is life-changing. And we need to be able to explain to people why we do what we do. They're going to wonder why. Our founder of our church, Dr. Huddleston, taught a sermon years ago. It was called The Self-Feeding Christian. Meaning that every individual here is responsible to feed yourself. So I asked the ladies, at what age does a child no longer need you to feed him? 2, 3, 4, 4, 3? Come on, moms. 2, okay, 2, 2. We got a mom back there. It's 2. Good. It's 2. Now listen, if that kid is 5 and you still feed him every day, something's wrong with you or him. Right? I mean, if there's no other physical issues, right, there's something wrong with you or him. He or she needs to be able to feed themselves. if you've been saved 2 years, we use two, 2 years or more, you should be able to feed yourself. Huh? You should have your own Bible. You should have be able to go through it and read it and study it on your own. What we do in these gatherings is good. It's not enough. Amen? You eat on a Sunday. You have a small group during the week. You eat there. But if that's all you eat, you're going to starve. And many men and women, Christians, are starving. Huh? Because they don't feed themselves. They wait for an Osby or myself or somewhere David to come. No, you got to feed yourself. So you'll know why you believe what you believe. Huh? People ask you, well, how do I give my life to Jesus? What did the Bible say about salvation? Don't be calling me. Amen? Pastor, I'm with my friend. He want to know how to get saved. Don't be calling me. You should have been feeding yourself. The best way to consistently feed yourself is with a plan. And there are so many reading plans available today. Stop just flipping through the Bible. Well, I'll read this today. Stop it. Tell your neighbor, stop it. Get a plan. Huh? There are plans that you can get. Right? The internet is full of them. Or you can try reading Genesis through Revelations. Get a plan and read so you'll be able to defend what you believe. God is a God of plans. Before he put man on this earth, he had a plan. He said, I'm going to create everything first, then I'll create man. Amen? God had a plan of salvation. Amen? God is a God of plans. You need a plan so you can be able to defend what you believe, so you can point people towards Jesus. I've always said this. Preparation brings opportunity. Preparation brings opportunity. You prepare yourself by studying the Word of God. God will give you an opportunity to share that Word with someone else. Amen? Glory to God. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to raise a special offering today. All right? I don't normally do this, but I'm going to do it today. And the reason is we're going to provide food for the kids who come to Mega Sports Camp. We're going to give them snack and some other stuff. And so we're going to raise an offering so we can provide the food for the kids at Mega Sports Camp and the volunteers. Are you with me? So if you've got a dollar, $5, $10, this is going so that we can reach young people for Jesus. This is where your money is going, okay? And we're going to feed them, and they're going to tell their friends and neighbors about it. And so I need you to dig in your pocket. If you got a dollar or $2, whatever you got, I want you to sow it into this ministry that we might reach young people for Jesus. Amen? And then we're going to get ready to leave here in a few moments. You close me out today? Okay, good. And after we receive this offering, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Because all this was really to the saints. And if you want to be a saint, there's a way to become a saint. And that's through the accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And so I want to give you an opportunity to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. So dig deep in your pocket, and we're going to give an offering. And we want to be ready for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, God's going to do great things through us this coming week. Yeah, great things. Hallelujah. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your willingness to give. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your willingness. You'll never know how many people you reach till you get to heaven because of your giving. You'll never know. Yes. Thank you. And so if we can stand to our feet, and I'm because I want to make sure I give you this opportunity, because there may be someone here today. Danielle, so good to see you. It's so good to see you. There may be someone here today who doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And this circle of life stuff, it's real, right? We come, and then we stay for a while, and then we leave, right? And all of us at some point in time had to deal with the death of somebody, right? A loved one, you know, mother, father, brothers. I understand the pain, and it reminds me that this life is only temporary on this side. It's just like a vapor. And the only way to spend eternity with Jesus is to accept Jesus as your Savior, that you will secure a place in heaven. And listen, it's not your good works that get you into heaven. It's not your bad work that keep you out of heaven. It's your refusal to accept Jesus as Savior that keeps you out of heaven. Listen, I've sinned since I've been saved. It doesn't wipe out my salvation. So none of us are perfect, right? So it's not because you're so bad you don't get in. It's not because you can earn your way in. If I do this, I'll get to heaven. No, it's only through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? And so if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you want to make sure you spend eternity in heaven with him today, I'm going to ask you to move away from your seat and come join me here at this altar. It won't take long, but I want to make sure I give you an opportunity, because I don't want anyone to be lost. The Word of God says, if not God's will, then any should perish. And so I want to give you a chance. You will not stand before God on Judgment Day and say, Lighthouse Covenant Fellowship didn't share with me the gospel, did not give me the opportunity to give my life to the Lord Jesus. Is there one here today who wants to make Jesus the Lord of their life? If you're already saved, great. But if you're not saved, here's your opportunity to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen. If there's none, I'm going to ask Brother Walter to come, and you're going to come give us a closing prayer. Are you glad you came today? Get a plan, all right? Get a plan. Be able to defend what you believe and why you believe it, right? Make sure that we live this thing out, being courteous and kind, not giving insult when we are insulted. Amen? None of us are perfect. I share with you my issues because I want you to know that all of us at times have issues. Amen? None of us are perfect. But God is, and God is gracious and kind to us. Brother Walter.
Is that better? Okay, good. Okay, thank you. We're going to bow our heads now and thank God for another worship day and ask him to go with us during this week. Father, as we come, before we leave today, Lord, we want to tell you thank you once again for bringing us here, Father. Thank you that those who came out today, we were able to fellowship with one another one more time, Lord. Everybody's not able, Lord. Some people didn't wake up this morning. Lord, we ask after we heard the word the pastor gave today that it will not just let us hear it, but be doers of the word, Father. Men and women are perishing every day, Lord. Time is short. We're asking that you would be a vessel. Let us be a vessel with you in us, Lord, and you teach us what to say and teach us how to live so that men might come saying, what must I do to be saved, Lord? And as we leave this place today, Lord, we're asking for traveling grace, and we're asking for a spiritual good time this week in our sports camp, Lord, and go with us always, Lord. You said you would never forsake us and always be with us. And this we ask in the Son, Jesus' name, even the Christ. Amen.